This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Employment and socialization are important to everyone, but experiencing them can be challenging for people living with developmental disability. Coco Cafe in Nanaimo's Cedar neighborhood is serving up healthy portions of inclusion by employing people with developmental disabilities in its cafe and catering work. Coco is short for Cedar Opportunities Cooperative, a nonprofit founded by a group of families.
Nancy McInnes spoke with Coco board chair Chris Badger in a People First interview from March 2014. Here's that interview.
We are joined on the phone by Chris Badger. He's the incoming board chair for the Cedar Opportunities Cooperative, operators of the Coco Cafe and catering in Cedar south of Nanaimo. Welcome to People First Radio, Chris.
Well, good morning, Nancy, and thank you for having me.
Tell us something about your own background. How did you get engaged with the co-op?
My sister and brother-in-law were founder family members of the co-op, and I retired a couple of years ago and couldn't think of a better way to spend my time than in support of the Coco Cafe.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the background of the Coco. How did it get started?
A few years ago, there were three families in the Cedar community. All three families had children with developmental disabilities that were basically graduating from high school, and they recognized there was very little opportunity for their children in the community, particularly when it came to finding employment. So they decided to form the co-op, the Cedar Opportunities Community, and the first thing they did was to open a cafe. The cafe's been going for about 3 years now, and anyone that hasn't been to enjoy our coffee and things to eat, please come on down.
Mm-hmm. I can attest to that because I've been there a few times, and it's delicious there.
Oh, excellent.
What are some of the community needs that the cafe fills?
Well, the cafe, I think I'll start off by saying how fortunate we are in the cafe. Firstly, we're in a community, the Cedar community and the surrounding community, that is such a supportive place to start an enterprise like this. Whether it's from individuals or from local businesses, there's been an outpouring of assistance to the cafe through the purchase of equipment, through electrical supplies, plumbing, carpentry, you name it. People have come out in support of the cafe, so we've been very fortunate. We're also very fortunate with our employees. I think any organization would just love to have the employees that we have. These are people that come to work every day with a very positive attitude, are very excited to be there, very proud of their cafe, and I want to be part of its success. On the challenges for us are mainly around the fact, obviously, operating a cafe like this is a little different from operating an ordinary cafe, and it costs a little bit more money. We have support staff that mentor our employees, and the costs are a little higher. So actually finding the additional money, as it were, to operate can be challenging at times. Again, having said that, we've had unbelievable support from organizations such as the Vancouver Foundation, who without their support, quite frankly, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Mm-hmm. That was one of my questions, is how is the cafe sustained financially?
Well, we have every intention and we have every confidence that within the next year or so, we will be self-sufficient. Where we've grown the cafe itself to a very stable position, and now we're growing our catering side of our business, which again, it seems to be very popular, and we're getting a lot of very good orders. So we think, given time, and it's really the issue of many startup organizations, it's having the time to reach that balance where you become self-sufficient. We're getting very close, but we're still a challenge, not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. So this might be showing my bias, but I'd like to know how the community is benefiting by the presence of young adults with developmental disabilities in the cafe and in the community.
Well, it's not just the adults. I think we all, I mean, not just the customers, I should say, we all are. I mean, I am learning so much from just being involved with these individuals that again, they have so much to offer us. And I'll give you an example. I used to live in Vancouver, and when you went in, you rushed into, let's say, a Starbucks to get a cup of coffee, you, in your usual Vancouver way, would be very irritated if the thing didn't appear within a minute or two. What you find is people come into our cafe, and everything slows down. They realize things might take a little bit more time for the food to be prepared, for the drinks to be prepared. There's an opportunity to chat, communicate, and a real... a real friendly atmosphere. So I think one of the things our community, anybody will benefit from coming to the cafe, is excellent food, excellent coffee, and a really laid-back, happy, warm, comforting environment. And I think it's proving to be a real success.
One thing I like is the little fireplace and the comfy chairs and the books that you can
yes.
buy and read.
Yeah, that was the brainchild of my sister-in-law, in fact. She wanted to build a little nook in there where people could come, have their coffee, pick a book off the shelf, maybe even swap a book. And we have young mums coming in there with their toddlers and their babies, a chance for them to have a bit of relaxation. Babies and toddlers can play around on the floor with the toys while they sit back and chat and relax. So, yes, it's very much a place to feel safe, to feel comfortable, and to enjoy good food.
So what about the value to the families of the young adults with developmental disabilities? I think they had the dream originally.
I think, again, this is from somebody that doesn't have a child with developmental disabilities myself, but just seeing the growth of some of the individuals is quite staggering. Obviously, I don't want to get into particular details about particular individuals, but we've seen people come through the door who, quite frankly, have been told most of their lives that they probably won't achieve very much. And they come in, and all of a sudden they find, in fact, they can achieve a lot. They're learning good skills. They're learning good catering skills, good cooking skills. They're learning financial skills. And they're making a wage. We've had individuals that saved up their money to do dream vacations of a lifetime. Or for various things, other individuals are now living on their own in their own accommodation. So the opportunity for them to A, feel like they're contributing to the community, and to feel that self-worth and that pride in holding down a job, the value is unmeasurable.
Mm-hmm. So you've said something about how the participants are benefiting. Are there any other ways with training and employment that they benefit?
Oh, absolutely. We've had, again, I'm not quite sure how many, but we have individuals that go through the Red Seal program for catering. They're learning first aid skills. They're obviously learning skills. Yeah, the intention is that we are developing employees that can eventually, if they want to, move on to other jobs within the community, or for some this is their dream job and they want to stay there. But all of them are benefiting by the fact that they're learning new skills and growing their career as they do so.
So what can the wider community do to support your work? You've mentioned finances.
Well, a lot. I mean, obviously, we have our core community members that come in on a very regular basis to buy food and to drink there. We've had, as I say, we've had local retailers that provided equipment. We've had individual members of the community buy equipment. So, really, every time we go out there looking for something, it seems somebody's willing to give it to us. So the participation has been staggering. I would say that this kind of enterprise only works in a community like Cedar, where people are close-knit and are there to help and support.
Mm-hmm. So we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, if you haven't been down to Coco Cafe, come on down. We're open every day except for stat holidays, and come down and try our food, drink the coffee, and particularly on Friday, we're going to do the famous war wonton soup. Yes, we'd love to meet you and to show off our cafe.
You mentioned something to me about opportunities for volunteering.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yes, we're always looking for people willing to volunteer their time, particularly in the evenings where we're getting quite a lot of catering jobs at the moment. We're looking for people that are willing to help us do off-site catering functions or anything that they feel they could do at the cafe and are willing to give their time. We're looking for people that can be committed to it, though. It's not like a one-off thing. We're looking for people that can give regular time. Mm-hmm. And if you are interested, go to our website and email us or come on by.
Thank you for joining us. It was much appreciated.
Well, thank you for having me, Nancy.
Chris Badger is a board chair of Cedar Opportunities Cooperative, which runs the Cocoa Cafe and Catering Co-op in Nanaimo's Cedar District. You can find them online at cedaropportunities.coop.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.